one, ain't it? You put that on the bookshelf and people got to live together. Okay, I'll go right on over here. Look, if I may one about prosperity, I'm talking about prosperity, right? You need healing, we're talking about healing. Because God is love, amen? All right, let's see here. We're going to go back over just a few scriptures from last week that is our main scriptures, and then we'll go on to what we got for this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, Beth will put it on the screen. Or some people don't have Amplified Bible. That'll be on the screen. So let's look at John 17 right quick. Now, I told you last week when we first started this that this is going to take mind renewal. How many knows that's never supposed to stop? Because I don't care how long I've been here, all of my thoughts and my thinking patterns are not yet completely like God's. We can always grow and come up higher. Amen. So here in John 17, and for time's sake, we're just going to read the highlights of what we're talking about. Y'all can go back and read whole chapters and study them if you want to. But here, John 17, we're going to start reading in verse 20, and this is going to be in the Amplified Bible. And this is Jesus talking. And he's talking to his disciples. He says, neither for these alone do I pray. And we had already read this last week where he had been praying. It says, it is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching. And we know that that would be us today and those that are still coming, right? We are his disciples. He says that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and you in me. Now you know, we know from the scripture, if we've been born again, he's in us, right? The Bible says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is within us, and he will quicken our mortal bodies. He says, I in them, and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united. He says that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them, even as you have loved me. I don't know about y'all, but that took a little mind renewal for me. See, I know me. And I don't know subconsciously or what, but I believe that God loved me, but maybe he loved Jesus just a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? Because he's perfect. He's the Son of God. How could he not love him more? But according to Scripture, that's what we got to believe, right? That he loves me just like he loves Jesus. You got to believe that he loves you just like he loves Jesus. Amen? Why? Because that's what the Word says. And the Word is true regardless of what we experience or what we think or anything else. And how many knows the Bible says this love will perfect us or it will mature us. Amen? So let's look here at John 13. Thank you, Lord. This is Jesus talking to his disciples again, and this will be in the Amplified also. Verse 34, he says, I give you a new commandment. Now remember we talked about last week that one that says to love the Lord, that guy came to him and asked him what was the greatest commandment in the law? Old Testament, right? And he asked him, he said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, you know, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you'll find a quote. That's a quote from Leviticus 19. So he says here, I give you a new commandment. If we keep this new commandment, we will be keeping all the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. But he says, I give you a new one. This is a higher one. Amen? This one can't be done by flesh. It says, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I have loved you. That's a mouthful. He says, so you too should love one another. Now, let's ask the question, because remember I told you last week was kind of like a crash course of what we was going to be talking about, and just to get us down the lines of thinking and working on it and everything. How did Jesus love us? How does he love us? He loved us so much, according to Scripture, and we know that it was true, that He laid down His life for us, right? That means I'm supposed to love you the same as He loves me. Right? Oh, can y'all feel that already? Yeah, sad but true. Gotta do it. No. That's why I say this takes mind renewal. How many knows Jesus said His commandments are not grievous? They're not irksome. They're not burdensome. Amen? And they can be done. You might think, well, I can't do that. Well, God would be unjust if He ever told us to do anything that was impossible or that we could not do. But now we can't do everything in ourselves. According to Scripture in John 15, He says, apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing. Not anything that benefits anyway. But He says, and who's He talking about here? This love. He says, I give you a new commandment that you should love who? One another. That's not the world. He's talking to disciples, right? We got to stay in context. What He's talking about, who He's talking to. So that means I am to love the brethren. Jesus Himself said, who are my disciples when they come? And they said that you're my brethren. When He said your mother and your brothers are outside, they want you to come out here. What'd He say? Y'all remember? He had people sitting there. He was talking to them and teaching. He said, these are my mothers, my brothers. Who was it? Those that kept the commandments of God, those that loved the Lord, right? So it is the brethren that I am to love, just as Jesus loved me. So we go on here, and He says, just as I have loved you, He says, so you too should love one another. He says, by this, by what? This love that He's talking about. He says, all men shall know that you are my disciples if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Now, the world and religiousness has a way of thinking about what it means to keep His commandments, you know, or how people's going to know that we are His disciples, you know. Well, my name is on the church row since 1962, you know, that's how people know I'm His child. That's not what the Scripture said. Your name can be on the row of a church anywhere, you know, and you not be His disciples and keeping His commandments. You know, or it's because I quote Scripture to people. Do you realize the devil quoted the Bible to Jesus, the Word Himself? And he's definitely not a disciple. Amen? So it's not by how much Scripture you can quote. It's not by how much that you attend church. Oh, y'all better come on now. You got people that have been sitting in church for years. They are not born again. They go for a lot of different reasons. We've had people come here, some guys and possibly some girls, but I know definitely some guys because they've told me theirself. They're just looking for a woman. Right? Why? A man would want a good, godly woman. Why? They ain't running around. They ain't partying all night. All this stuff, you know, they'll usually take care of you and all that. So if I was going to look for a woman, I would look for one in the church that is following the Lord. But we've had people come here that they didn't come here because they love the Lord. They come here, and when they came, they was looking for a woman, but God got a hold of them, and they stayed. And they never did find the woman, not even till today. So it's not by your going to church, even though when we love the Lord and we keep His commandments, we will be faithful to attend church, to assemble with the brethren. See, everything that we do is supposed to be motivated by the love of God that is inside of us. So He says there, this is how everybody's going to know. I ain't got to preach to them. I ain't got to tell them. Now, if God opens the door, gives me an opportunity, yes. But by this, I went to Walmart Friday. How many knows there's times you can get around people and you just know? They're not quoting a scripture. They're not saying anything about the Lord. But you just get in the proximity of them and let them start talking. And you just know there's something different about them that is the same on the inside of me that it's on the inside of them. And it's this love that He's talking about. And this can't be done in ourselves. You cannot love the way God and Jesus loves without being born again of His Spirit. Why? This is the agape love of God. This is a sacrificial love. Amen? That lays down its life. Let's look here at, let's go over to Galatians 2. I mean 6, I'm sorry. Beth will put it up on the screen, but, well, let me just turn to it. Y'all can read it from the screen. Just want to look at one verse here of what He says. And this will be in the King James. I'm just going to read verse 1, 2. He says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, this is the key verse here. He says, "Bear ye one another's burdens," and what? So fulfill the law of what? Christ. What is the law of Christ that we are under today? To love the brethren just as Jesus has loved me, or just as he has loved you. Amen? This is, they're right. We're not under Old Testament law. We have a new commandment. We're under a new law. But how many knows it's greater and it's higher? And it cannot be done in flesh. Let's look here. Y'all with me? Y'all sure? Okay. Because, we'll just milk this cow. We'll just milk it till we all get on the same page here. Because I truly believe everything that we have been praying and asking God for and fasting and things that we've been doing as individuals and also as a body, I believe it's in what we're talking about this morning. Because the Bible says God is love, according to 1 John 4:8, right? Not that just he has it, he is love. And I really think it would help us. I know that I've been doing it and it's helping me. That every time I read the Word of God or I think about God, I translate it love. Every time I see the word love or think about love, I translate it God. God is love. He doesn't just have it. You know, in the world and even some Christians have a misunderstanding and a not right view of what love really is. We talked about last week how that a lot of times the world, or even Christians nowadays, some of them, you know, that Jesus taught like love and tolerance, love and accept. No, he did not. He taught love and repentance. Amen? Well, we talked about the scripture last week that where God says those that he loves, he does what? He chastens or he corrects, right? Well, that doesn't always feel good. And the Bible says in that same scripture, he said, your forefathers, he said, they did it for their benefit. He said, but I correct you for your benefit. Amen? He doesn't do it because we're on his last nerve, like some of us may have disciplined our kids or something. He does it for our benefit. But love has correction in it. And it loves you enough to correct you every time. So we have to think right about this stuff. If God loves, if God gets on to you or corrects you or tells you put your buggy back or don't do this or do this or what, it's because he loves you and he's got a way bigger plan than what you could ever think or ask according to Scripture, right? He says abundantly above, greater than I could think or ask. But he says according to the power that is working on the inside of me and you. You know, and I think a lot of times, I know myself I have, that it, I have thought at different times, you know, I got to do this. I know what. I got to do it. I got to do it. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about this morning, you let, you let the love of God on the inside of you, and you begin to yield to that, and you begin to exercise that loving one another as he has loved you, and I'm telling you, you don't got to do it. Things just fall off of you. Sorry, Beth, got to take a detour, honey, but you're that good. 1 John 4:18. I'm going to show you something. The Bible talks about, well, let me just read this before I get on with that. I get sidetracked. Yeah. Sorry, Beth. I think I'm going to go up one. I think I'm going to go to 16. King James, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. You got to know it and believe it. I was at Walmart. I told you about that girl that I got around. But anyway, I was at Walmart doing some stuff Friday. And I've been meditating on this, doing my best to yield to him, you know, walking it like he says. And all of a sudden, I noticed myself. So I know it wasn't me doing it. I noticed myself. I'm humming. I'm just going down the aisle, you know, and I'm humming, you know, and stuff. Let's get out of the way, like I usually do, you know, have done before. I mean, people, they just walk right in front of you while you're trying to, you're reaching for the beans, and they're like, y'all know, anyway, I'm not getting on all that. But anyway, it was amazing to me. I'm humming, and I'm going, and I'm like, all of a sudden I heard that, and I'm like, what? What's that? What's that? What am I doing? And I thought, that's not me. How many know it? Your spirit is on the inside, in here. Not up here, he's in here. God speaks to you by your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I'm humming this tune. I don't know what this tune is. I don't know no words to this tune. I'm like, what is that? And I thought, but it sure does feel good. So I just kept on. And I do that all the way home. I do it all the way in the store. I do it all the way home because it just feels good, you know. Anyway, I get home and I start doing something else. And all of a sudden, I start hearing the words to the humming. It says, he walks with me and he talks with me. He tells me I am his own. And when I heard those words, it did something to me. Why? Because, see, it's not all about me loving him and what I can do. But when I come, like this word we just read, to know, to believe, and to know the love that he loves me with, it changes me. Religion says, I change to meet his requirements. God says, let me change you. And this stuff, you'll come out, you'll come over, and it'll never be a part of you again. You don't even got to do it. It just comes off of you. But he says there, he says that we have come to know, we have know and believe the love that God has to us. He says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. So if you're not dwelling in love, you're not dwelling in God. But if you're dwelling in God, you're dwelling in love. Amen? And he says, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Didn't we read the scripture that we would be one in him, and him in us, and us with each other? 17. He said, herein is our love made perfect. That word perfect will translate mature. It means it's growing and it's developing till it gets to its full capacity. The Bible talks about that we would come to know, that word know there translates experience the love of Christ. What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of it? And there's not a one of us in this room that has made it to that fullness yet. But thank you, Lord, he's bringing us on up. Amen. He goes on and he says here, herein is our love made perfect or brought to maturity, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You want faith? Walk in love. God showed it to me this way. Kind of like, you know, and he talks to you the way you understand, and sometimes it's very simple, small. The Bible says faith without works or without action is dead, right? This is kind of how he showed it to me. Faith is a car. It's got a battery and all of that. But love is the gas that you put in the gas tank for the car to go do the action. Or you could see it this way. Love, the Bible says in Galatians, it says faith which worketh or is energized, the Amplified Bible says, by love. So you say your faith, you know, you got faith or whatever, but it ain't doing anything. Put the cables on it. Y'all ever had a dead battery and you put the cables on the car? What happens? Cha-choom! That's exactly what the true love of God will do to your faith. It'll put that faith to work. Why? Because faith is the one that does the work, but the love is the one that puts the gas in the gas tank to go do the work. That'll bring it to pass. Amen? Did y'all understand it that way? Good. I didn't know if that was too low down for y'all to understand or what. But anyway, so that's the way he showed it to me. He said, herein is our love made perfect or mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now notice this. He says, there is no fear in love. Y'all should be way more excited than that. A lot of people have a lot of things. We all got issues somewhere. Some may be we don't see yours, because you may be very self-righteous and judgmental about other people, and we may not see it and hear it, but how many knows God does? We all got somewhere we can grow and we can develop. There's others, they've got outward habits or whatever that everybody can see, or the way they talk. Y'all know all about that one, right? You know, the way they talk is not too good or something like that. But how many knows, he says there, fear, the love of God will cast out all fear. Just like this, you take somebody that smokes. I smoke. for years and all of that stuff and everything, so I know what I'm talking about. I have experienced it. You get in the love of God, one of the things the devil will tell you, I'm talking about when you want to quit, you want to come out, but you can't seem to. You know, and people will say, well, just quit. Well, if I could, don't you think I would? Oh, we're getting real quiet in this Holy Ghost-filled church. Don't be getting on stuff like that. You know, that's why we have a lot of problems with things, because we don't talk about a lot of stuff. We just like to keep it in the darkness. And do you know that it grows and gets a bigger stronghold when it stays in the darkness? Jesus said he reveals in the light. For an example, say you just for an example, smoking, drinking, I don't care what it is, some kind of outward thing like that or whatever, you know. But your heart is, you want to come out. You love God. You want to quit. You want to come out and all this stuff. But the devil will tell you, you can't. What is that? Fear. I can't. The Bible says you can. God said all things are possible to those who believe. Do you realize you start walking and yielding and walking in the love of God, like I'm talking about the true love of God, it just begins to push fear out of you to the point to where there's no more fear there, and that thing loses its hold on you, and you believe you can and you do, right? The Bible says, I can do all things, how? Through Christ. And this love perfecting on the inside of us, he's not talking about just being afraid of dying or something, but it'll do that too. He says there you'll have boldness in the day of judgment. You won't have no more fear of dying. You'll be ready to be flying, amen, when he comes. I know I used to have a lot of condemnation because, and Scotty, I don't know what the difference was. I mean, the man had most of the same hang-ups that I did too, except a lot of mine was a little worse. But I mean, it's like we get saved and we're still so messed up, like he says, jacked up from the floor, but we don't know it. Our life is so much better now. We think, this is, woo, good. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't say much to anybody about Jesus. I would not dare put a Jesus bumper sticker on my car. Him, he is a driving billboard. I'm not kidding him. Jesus on this window, Jesus sticker on this window, Jesus bumper stick, you remember that, Travis, all the way across the back bumper, just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm like, how can you do that when you do this and you don't do that? And the Bible calls it condemnation. I had this thing because, and it was fear. That's where it was rooted and based in. You can call it what you want to, but it was fear. And I walked in a lot of condemnation because I was not yet to that perfection. Nobody is the day that you get born again in the flesh. No, spiritually we are, whatever. But anyway, and that took a little bit of time, but it was like he had no condemnation and it was just Jesus everywhere. I had to grow and develop, and still am. I told him the other day, because I've been exercising in this love of God and everything, I said, I feel like an evangelist, Brother Day. I'm not kidding. I'm like, I got to get him in here. I got to get him in here. I got to get him in here. Why? Because that love on the inside of me is casting out all that fear. And the Bible says it brings torment. You are tormented. That you in your heart, you want to do, but you don't because of the fear. But when the love of God comes up on the inside of you, and I'm talking about maturing on the inside, let's just read it there because I didn't read the whole thing there, did I? He says, herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness. 18. He says, there is no fear in love, or you say the love of God, but perfect or matured love does what? Cast it out. What's that mean? That means you get so full of the love of God, there's no more room for any kind of fear of anything or anybody. You hear what I'm telling you? To where, he says, it caused you to have boldness. In the day of judgment, it'll cause you to have boldness and confidence in every area. Let's see here. He says, because fear has torment, it says, he that feareth is not made perfect, or you could say, maturing in the love of God. So as we do this, as we mature in this love, you're going to get less and less fear on the inside of you. And like I said, you come out of things you feared that you could not. I'm telling you what, I know what I'm talking about. I have experienced it for myself. And instead of me trying to do it, that love of God just falls off. But religion says, you change you. God says, let me change you. Amen. And I tell you, talk about joy and gratefulness and gratitude that it causes. There cannot be any of this, you should be like me. I did it. I'm telling you, I just pulled myself up by the brute straps, bless God, and I got her done. I'm serious. That's all about you. That's kind of like the guy that the Pharisee and the publican was praying, ain't it? I thank thee, God, I'm not like this sinner. Sinner! Sinner! I'm not like the sinner, God. I fast twice in a week. I tithe. What did the publican say? Forgive me, Lord. Be merciful to me, God. Which one did he say got what he asked for? Went down justified. The one that said, help me, Lord. Be merciful to me, O God. Amen. That was a little side note. That was free. It was good. Good to me. All right. Let's see where we want to go now. 1 Thessalonians 4, I think. Gosh, that kind of hurt. Slapping a little too hard there. For time's sake, we're just going to start reading here in verse 7. And it's going to be in the King James Version. He says, for God, and he's talking about things, defrauding one another and uncleanness, all this stuff. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 7. He says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Amen? He says, excuse me. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. Notice this, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Who's going to teach you? God's going to teach you. God's going to teach me. From how? Where? Number one, from within, right? And then he uses also five ministry. The Bible says for the perfecting, the full equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, right? Till we all come into the maturity, right? The unity of the faith and all that. But he says here, God's going to teach us how to love one another. He says, verse 10, he says, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren, which are all in all Macedonia. So God's not telling us this morning, y'all get on board here and get to loving one another now because you just ain't been doing it. We know we have. Every one of us in here has been loving one another to a certain degree. I mean, people come in and I see y'all love on them. Y'all bring one another stuff. You just brought me a pen, you know. I mean, different things. We do. We love one another here. But this is like God saying, okay, I want you. I was reminded this morning. I hope I'm not jumping around where y'all not getting this. But anyway, I was reminded this morning. I stayed with my grandparents for a while. Sometimes, and you know, weeks at the time or whatever. And anyway, there was this neighbor kid down the road or whatever. His name was Chuck, and he would come over sometimes, and me and him, we would walk up this hill. I don't know, it's probably Aubrey's age, I guess, maybe a little older. We would walk up this hill, and up here on the hill, the neighbor stored rows, bales of hay in rows up there in a big field. Well, what we would do, we would go up there in that field and we would climb up on top of those hay bales and then we would race each other, jumping from hay bale to see who could, you know, win or whatever. Well, when you stood up on that hay bale and you looked, it was like I could see from there, which was, what do you call it? Y'all know where Dunn Road is? Skyball Mountain? Oh, over in that area. But this is called Dunn Road now, is what it's called, I think. Anyway, from the standing on top of those hay bales where I was, it was like I could see from there, Dunn Road, to Aniana. But before I got on top of the hay bale, I could not see that far. This is what God's talking about. You get on a ladder. You're standing here. The higher the ladder is, the further you can see. This is like what God is saying to us. Y'all have walked in love, and I'm glad. It's been good for you. But come on up here. I got way more for you than you ever dreamed possible. You get up here on this level, you see different. You see more. Amen? And that's what he's talking about. Not that we haven't been loving, but God said, come on, I want you to experience more of the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of my love. I want you to experience more of me loving you and my love going out to people than you have ever known before. And so that's what he's telling them there. He says, you're going to be taught of God and all that. He says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are all in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you what? Increase more and more. This never stops. Right? The Bible says we go from faith to faith. We're supposed to go from one level of faith to another level of faith. We're supposed to go from one level of God to walking in another level of God. He says that you increase in this love more and more, and that you study to be quiet. Oh, boy. And to do your own business. Oh, here we go. If we're going to walk in this kind of love that he's talking about, I've got to stop talking about you. I'm not saying I am. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? You've got to stop talking about one another. The Bible talks about how we can bite and devour one another. What Sandy does is none of my business. Scotty is my husband. We share almost everything. But there's things I know about some of y'all I don't even tell him. You better hear what I'm telling you. You're not going to get to this love continuing on the level of what I'm talking about. Why? The Bible says love covers. I'll give you an example. Now, I've been working on this. We've all been working on it, but God's calling us to go higher. Monday night, I'd been on Facebook and I'd seen some things somebody posted or whatever. Well, Tuesday night, I was sitting there, you know, and I told Scotty about what I had saw. I'm in the living room. I told him about what I had saw and everything. Just blabbing, I guess, just talking, not thinking much about it. Well, I get up and I go in the kitchen and all of a sudden, I turn around and I go and I tell him, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I should have not have told you that. I should have not have said anything about that. Why? Because it'll help you if you'll start thinking before you start talking. Is this going to bless the person I'm talking to? Is it going to bless the person I'm talking about? Y'all better hear me. Is it going to do them good? Is it going to cause them to see the person I'm talking about in a good light? Or will it cause them to think maybe less of them if they're not a more mature? Y'all know what I'm saying? Don't act like we don't. Come on now. This is good for us. It's good for us. It'll cause you to live. Remember, the title is Live to Give. So if we're going to go to the level he's talking about, all that has to stop. Let's go to that brings me to my next verse right here. Let's see. Let's go over to John 15. Because see, listen, my intention may not even be wrong, but why say it? You don't have to tell and say everything that you know. But sometimes our flesh is just such blabbers. Just blab, 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 blab. God doesn't waste words. How many knows we shouldn't waste our words? Our words have power. According to Scripture, there's power of life and death in my tongue, in my words. And if I'm uncovering you, I will be uncovered. And this thing, God said, Lord, help me, Jesus. If you're saying something and you just feel the need to say, I'm not judging. Oh, good Lord. Why'd you think you might be? Reckon because you really are? I would not judge. Well, it didn't cross my mind. Whose mind did it cross? Evidently yours. So you're probably judging. What's the Bible say if we become a judge? What happens? Y'all ain't forgot, have you? You will be judged. I don't know about you. I don't want no judgment. Oh, good Lord. I'm looking for mercy, grace, and favor at all times. Thank you, Lord. Your mercies are new for me every morning because I need them so much. So I definitely don't want to be judging you because I don't want no judgment. The Bible says whatever judgment I put out to you, guess what? I'm going to get the same teaspoon, dump truck, tractor trailer. Whatever I put out to you, that same judgment is coming to me. And I can guarantee you, you don't want it either. So if I don't want to be judged, then I can't be judging. Best just to be quiet. I don't have to have an opinion about everything you say. I don't have to have an opinion about, you know, and everybody does. If you ain't careful and you just blab it out, well, I think, who cares? You know, you need every piece of mind you got, I guarantee you, and we don't need none of your peace of mind. And y'all don't need none of mine. I definitely need all of mine. So I sure don't need to be giving you none of mine. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is good. Remember, if God loves us, He does what? He corrects us. Why? For our benefit. Why? I told you last week, I believe with all my heart, God wants us coming in here, and it is like a love feast. God is in here moving. We're loving one another. We're loving God. God's love. Do you know you ain't even going to have to pray for healing? You get in something like that, why? Love heals. Well, I thought God healed. That's what I said, didn't I? God is love. Love wants you healed. God wants you healed. Well, I don't need love. I need finances. Yes, you do. Love wants you blessed. Love wants your need met. I wouldn't like it if my grandson was sick and broke and sores on his feet because I can't even afford a pair of shoes, right? But my love wants him to have everything that he needs. Amen. God is the same way. So if we're going to come on this next level that he's talking about, we're going to have to heed to the correction. I have been praying for some time now because I know me. And God knows me, and God knows I'm probably one of the worst of all in here. But that's okay. We're all growing and developing. But I have been praying for myself. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. That the Word of God, according to Hebrews 4:12, discern my thoughts and intents of my heart to me. Because the Bible says that you can pray in tongues without the love of God, and it's what? Bing, bong, bong, bing, bong. Right? Clanging cymbals, doing nothing. He says, I can give all. Oh, we real big on this giving, right? I can give all to the poor, even have my body to be burned. He says, but without love, and what he's talking about, love being the motivating force of why I do what I do, because you can give to be seen. The Pharisees did. They prayed, right, standing out there for everybody to hear the things that they would pray. We're not going to be like that. Everything that we do, and so I've been praying, God, that your word, according to Hebrews 4:12, Lord, discern the thoughts that I have and the intents of my heart. Holy Spirit, help me that every thought, that only the thoughts that I allow, Lord, would be the ones that are motivated from the love of God out of my heart. Lord, I put a watch over my mouth. Help me, Holy Spirit, put a watch over my mouth that I would not sin against you or people. See, it ain't just about just sinning against God. According to Scripture, you can sin against people. Y'all remember the story about Miriam and Aaron? What was they doing?
I just don't think he ought to marry that woman right there now. I just tell you.
Who cares what you think? God didn't care what they thought. He said, matter of fact, I'm about to wipe them out. I'm going to wipe them out. But he didn't. He had mercy because of Moses, but they still got Miriam got her a case of leprosy and got put outside the camp. I don't even want that far. So what's that mean? And this probably ain't going to be an overnight thing. But what's it mean? Get on it. Get to working on it. Get to working on it. The kids, the Bible talks about how I've been trying to help them, you know, and everything. Because if we're not careful, we have a problem about interrupting people when they're talking. Come on, Travis. Glad you told the truth, Sandy. Now, all the rest of these, I'm just talking to y'all. I guess y'all don't need it. You know, somebody be saying something, and all of a sudden, I don't care if it's a scripture. They're in the middle of their sentence, and you just start blabbing out a scripture. Rude interrupter. Ain't that right, Abe? The Bible says love is not rude. It's not unmannerly. The love of God is full of manners.
That was a revelation I had last week. So I told the kids, I said, okay. I said, y'all been doing good. Well, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, no, sir, all that. I said, okay, here's another one for us to work on. And they're like, what is it? What is it? I said, well, we're going to call it rude interrupter. They're like, what's that? I said, well, it's when somebody's talking, you know, and you butt in and start talking. I said, this is what you do. I said, you catch yourself and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. And then you wait. And if they tell you, go ahead and talk, then you talk. If they don't, you be quiet until they get done. Y'all just don't know how much this will perfect us. Well, they get in. We went and picked them up Friday to go get some new shoes, took them out to eat and all. Sometimes we like to spend time with them doing stuff like that. Well, anyway, and Travis, he does a lot of kidding and stuff, you know. Both of them, they get in the truck. And Aiden, I mean, he ain't even got the door closed. He says, Grandma, Dad was a rude interrupter. Rude interrupter, Grandma. I said, he was. Yep, he sure was. He overtalked us and Mom. I said, oh, he did not. Yes, he did, rude interrupter. I said, well, Dad was probably just kidding. I said, but anyway, I said, we have to work on it, you know, or whatever. Well, they're sitting in the back seat, you know, buckled up and all that, and we're headed to Onion and everything. And Aubrey, she's saying something. She's talking, and I look in my mirror, and Aiden's going. And I told him, I said, okay, Aiden. I said, just a second. I said, just a second. Let Aubrey. That tells me something. Do you know just that one thing, how far that'll take him in his entire life? You use this at church. You use this at school. You use this at the grocery store. You use this on your job. And if you can get in them now, they won't have some of the problems that a lot of us have had. I raised myself other than what Scotty raised me, and boy, y'all saw the results a little bit. I was done saved by the time most of y'all saw me. So y'all had it pretty good, you know. But I mean, it's just these little things wherever God shows you. Receive the correction. Don't get condemned. Start working on it. Why? Because it's God's going to teach us. He said he would, right? Then he's obligated himself. But when he brings it up, when you, just like them, when somebody's talking and you do it, say it, I'm sorry. What's that? I repent. I'm sorry. Go ahead. And then you just stand there. And I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about somebody. Well, because I've been praying, Lord, help me put a watch over my mouth that I don't sin against you or people or whatever. I can't tell you how many times that I've been on the tip of my tongue a sentence fixing to say something and right in here be like, mm-mm. And I'd be, oh God, thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me. Thank you. Why? Because he's teaching me. He's teaching me. Why? He's going to perfect that love that is within us. And I've got just a couple of seconds, and I've got to get this read. What did I tell y'all? Hebrews? I don't even have Hebrews. Oh, John 15. Yeah, let's get this in real quick, because this one is, we got to have this one before we stop here. This is really good. Oh, we're about to bust the devil with this one. Y'all remember the story that Scotty's told, I don't know how many times, about God telling him to love me like Christ loved the church? Now, I don't have time to read all of this that I was going to, because I got like just 2 minutes maybe. So I'm just going to have to read the one thing right here. y'all remember his first thought he had? I can't do that. She'll just run all over me. Lie. Lie. Let's see what the Word says about it. Let me see where I want to start it, because I don't have time to read all of this here. Verse 8. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Gosh, we just keep saying this, don't we? Notice, continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, what's his number one commandment? Love the brethren as I have loved you, right? He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, right? He loved us, right? He says, I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love.
These things I have spoken unto you. Notice what he says, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So, walking in this love that I've been talking about, you know, and doing for others and loving others, you know, and living to give and all that, people's going to take advantage of you, you know, and you're going to feel sad about it, but praise God, somebody was blessed. Is that right? I felt like that before. But that's not what he said, did he? He said, if you walk in this love, keep my commandment. Let me just read it again, because this is a big one. He says, these things have I spoken unto you. He said, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. The Bible says, if you will lose your life, you will find it. The Bible says love's not self-seeking. The more self-seeking you are, like the horse leech daughters, gimme, 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 the more that you think about you, the more that you want people to do for you, you will be the most miserable person on the planet. Do you understand that's why some people kill themselves? They keep telling themselves, when I get to this attainment of what I want, you hear me? Of what I want, it'll be good. I'll be happy. When I get this, I'll be happy. When I get that, that's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. Jesus just said it. But you know what? When you forget about you, lose your life, he says, you're going to find the real life. You're going to find the higher life. He says, and my joy is in that life. Because the less I think about me and the more I think I live to give to others and be a blessing to others, God makes sure that joy stays on the... God told me to do something for somebody this week. And I'm telling you, when he said it, I just started laughing. I'm talking about from down here, not up here. Because the second he told me, my head said, that could be $10,000. That could be $20,000. I don't know what that could cost me. And then all of a sudden, I turned that off and I thought, okay, let's discern this. Got to make sure this is God. And I just started thinking about it and coming up right through here, I started laughing. What's he say? My joy. Not happiness from getting what I want. My joy, supernatural joy, will remain on the inside of you. So every time I talk, all I got to do is think about that, and I start laughing. So I've got to stop because actually I'm a little bit over our time, and I do get in trouble for that. You know, Scotty gets a whole hour, I get 45 minutes. But anyway, does anybody like to say anything or anything before we close?